This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana, 19 days before Election Day, and we'll be talking about that with Mark Ballard later in the hour. Robin Dow is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757, and emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. The show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and we start our discussion today with Press Robinson Sr. His book is Pressing Forward, My Life as a Baton Rouge Community Pioneer. He came to this city in 1963 when he was 25 years old. Told me his birthday was August 2nd, 1937. And I know that date. You know who else was born on August 2nd, 1937?
No.
Billy Cannon.
Really?
Same day, same year.
How about that?
It's amazing. You know,
I did not know that.
Yeah, H. Rapp Brown and Buddy Romer were born on the same day, October 4th, 1943, two Louisiana revolutionaries.
Yeah.
And you might say you and Cannon were revolutionaries, too. And you both came from other cities. Billy was born in Philadelphia, Mississippi on August 2, 1937. And where were you born?
Florence, South Carolina.
Florence, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And so how did this odyssey take you to Baton Rouge, the city that you've now called home for more than 60 years?
Well, you know, I was at Howard University getting my PhD degree. There was a young lady there who knew the head of the chemistry department at Southern, relayed the fact that I was about to graduate with a PhD, and Vanden White, who's that person I'm talking about, was looking for young PhDs for Southern and invited me to come work at Southern. I had a friend in my class who was from New Orleans, and he kept saying to me, you know, Press, you just got to go to New Orleans, man. You got to go to Louisiana. I said, well, why? He said, it's got the best food in the world and the prettiest women.
Well,
at 25, you know what I did, right? When I got the chance, I came to Louisiana, but I came to stay 1 year, and that has morphed into 60 plus.
And you brought a beautiful lady to our studio today.
I did. That's my friend Gloria, and I'm glad that she came with me.
Well, Press is a guy who, I can do the math, you're an amazing force of nature, because I know when you're born in 1937, the year's 2024, you're 87 years old.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And sometimes I might blow smoke, but I'm not now. You look at least 20 years younger than that.
I feel 20 years younger, you know?
Well, it might be the company you're keeping.
Maybe so, but the good Lord has been good to me. I have to really say that.
Well, Southern University, where you were situated for more than 40 years, and of course you also went to Southern and New Orleans, but it's a university every bit as steep in history as LSU, and
yeah,
you were there through some good times and some bad times.
Correct.
I mentioned H. Rapp Brown. He was kicked out of Southern along with Elbert Guillory because they were stirring up trouble with the campus newspaper. You were there when the two kids got killed in 1972. Do you remember that?
Not only was I there, I met with those kids until about 1 a.m. that morning prior to that. Didn't have any idea that they were going to be doing anything like they did. Didn't know about the arrest that occurred after we stopped meeting. Had I known, I probably would have been with them at that building.
And who knows what would have happened.
Absolutely.
But that was a case that is still unsolved all these years later. And I know Ed Pratt at The Advocate has made it his mission to remember that every November 16th.
He does.
And he should, and I'm glad he does. But there were times at Southern that were much better than that, but of course, in the course of your odyssey from 1963 to 2005, we're starting with the first years, the year John McKithen was elected governor, to the year Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana. That's a lot of time.
You know, and of course, the thing about Katrina is, I was in New Orleans at that time and was chancellor at Southern University at New Orleans. Left New Orleans exactly 1 week to the day to the coming of Katrina. I mean, we missed that by exactly 1 week.
Well, you were fortunate.
Yes.
Morehouse College.
Yeah.
That's where you started before Howard, right?
That's correct.
Morehouse is a historic school, too.
It is. I mean, an all-male school, and You know, I didn't know a lot about universities, but I had a very good friend who was from Atlanta who did know about Morehouse, and I kind of followed him there, and I never regretted it. Met Benjamin E. Mays, who was the president, and some other very important people. Martin Luther King's dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Who was the pastor
right.
at the Ebenezer.
Visited his church while I was there.
You know, the pastor now is Raphael Warnock, who's a U.S. senator.
That's right.
He is still the pastor, but Morehouse College, it's also where Corey Wilson, the head of BRAC, was educated, and it has a rich, rich history that includes Martin Luther King Sr. and Jr.
And the third.
Right. Spike Lee.
Yeah.
He went to college there. Samuel L. Jackson, yeah. Julian Bond, and Raphael Warnock. Yeah. So that's strong stuff. And Press Robinson.
Well, but I'm not strong like those guys are.
Well, you're pretty strong. And then from there to Howard, where the vice president, Kamala Harris, was educated.
That's
a great school in Washington, D.C., isn't it?
Yep.
How was
it
that experience?
Quite different than Morehouse because you know, that was at the graduate level, and we were much more serious. I didn't get to know much of the people at Howard, unfortunately. I spent all my time in the laboratory. You know, I'm a chemist by training, and that took a lot of time.
877-217-5757 is your number, and a listener has noted that you served on the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board, first black member of that panel, and a gentleman who I consider a friend, but is he is really conservative, I mean, with a capital C, Jim Talbot. And I see a photo here in the book of you and Talbot.
Absolutely.
Did you two get along?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. As a matter of fact, I knew Jim before he got on the board because I think in my first campaign for the school board, Jim Talbot and his partner were my media people. You know, they did my media for me. So I knew Jim.
Well, yeah, business solves everything, doesn't it? And plus, you were successful. And,
yeah.
And Talbot, of course, was the guy who did the Inside LSU Basketball, which I think is the greatest coaches show of all time with Dale Brown.
Yeah, I like that. And, I like Dale, too.
And he and Dale are best friends, and I'm not exaggerating by saying that. And I know in this particular election, which has divided our country, Jim is for Trump, and Coach Brown says he is voting for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, well, that's not surprising.
But you also were involved in other political realms, including 1983, Freddie Pitcher Jr., elected first black judge on the Baton Rouge City Court, and you were?
His campaign manager. As a matter of fact, I was his campaign manager for all three of his campaigns.
And he's a great man.
He also wrote
a very good book.
And is responsible for me writing that one, because he was the one that encouraged me to do it and said, Press, you know, you have a story to tell. And based on what he said to me when the pandemic came around, I'm stuck in the house, no place to go, nothing to do. I thought, well, this might be a good time to just put down a few things. That's how I got started.
Mm-hmm. Well, a listener who has read your book, and it is Pressing Forward by Press Robinson Sr., who has logged most of his life now in Baton Rouge, told me to go to the back of the book, which I have, and I've skimmed through the book. I just got it, by the way, from LSU Press, but I have it, and I've soaked as much information as I can. But and I found this is Tracy at the Capitol, who says, ask him about what happened in January of 2005 when you had an evaluation session with President Tarver. What happened?
Well, I wondered why that evaluation session took so long to occur. All the other chancellors had been evaluated, and I'm wondering, well, why I've not been evaluated yet? That was the one in which I decided that it was time for me to leave Southern, and I did. I resigned or announced that I would be stepping down. This was in January, June 30th of that year, because I thought it was time to get out of the kitchen.
Well, you must have had a few disagreements.
Yeah, I think we did. I'm not sure exactly why that happened the way it did,
mm-hmm.
or what was behind it. I just knew that it was something I didn't want to be a part of, and decided that it was time to get out of the kitchen.
Well, my friend Steve Myers, who's running for mayor, who is the founder of Tiger Rag, said, nobody leaves LSU happy. He was talking about administrators and coaches. And you could say that for academia. Now, a lot of professors, I think, leave happily. But when you're in management positions or a coach, rarely does somebody leave of their own accord. And if they do, it's usually they've got a bad taste in their mouth.
That's correct. I mean, that's unfortunate, but that happens, you know. As a matter of fact, when President Tarver asked me to go to New Orleans, I told him if I took that job, it would end my career at Southern. He says, no, that won't happen. But it did.
We'll spend some more time with remarkable Press Robinson Sr. His book is Pressing Forward, and your number, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing, your number, 877-217-5757. The indomitable Press L. Robinson Sr. is with us. His book is Pressing Forward, My Life as a Baton Rouge Community Pioneer. Educated at Morehouse and Howard, he came this way and has now logged almost all of the last 61 years in Baton Rouge and has lived in the same house in Scotlandville, Mayhaw Drive, since 1965. Next year will be 60 years in that house. And a lot of white folks in Baton Rouge, they never go to Scotlandville unless they're driving through to get to St. Francisville.
That's unfortunate.
Because you live in a predominantly black neighborhood.
Absolutely. Always
and it is one of the most pleasurable neighborhoods in our community.
In the whole city parish. Absolutely.
And you never thought about moving to the south side of town?
No. Never did. Never did.
Never will.
No.
Never will. Oh. Well, that house, that campus in this city, a lot of memories, most of them good and most of them in pressing forward. And you were a pioneer. But as I stated, when John McKithen became governor of Louisiana, elected in 63. That was the same year George Wallace in Alabama was saying, segregation yesterday, segregation today, segregation forever.
That's right.
We have come a long way.
Yeah.
But it's evident we have
a long
many
way to
miles to travel. But what about how far we have come? Is that notable?
Yes, it is. It's notable, but we have to remember that things don't change a lot. I mean, one of the things I say in the book is that the more things change, the more they stay the same. What I mean by that is in 1974, I filed suit against the school board for single-member districts because we couldn't get elected, that is, black folk, ward-wide. Mm-hmm. In 2024, I'm the main plaintiff or the lead plaintiff in the fight for the congressional districts, for two black congressional districts.
You were the main plaintiff.
I'm the main plaintiff now.
And it's still ongoing.
Yes, it is. But
and you know, last week we had Ralph McAllister on, and he is he's a plaintiff on the other side.
On the other side,
yeah.
Right. You know, and we thought we won these rights in 1965, you know, the 60s. But here we are fighting the same fights again, mm-hmm. over and over again. So even though that things have changed and things have improved, they pretty much kind of stayed the same in some respects.
877-217-5757 for Press Robinson. Nancy in Mid-City. Hello, Nancy. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, Jim. This is Nancy Roberts.
Hi, Dr. Roberts.
And I just want to say hi. Yeah, I want to say hi to my good friend Press and tell him thank you. We went on with Press and me, Tammy Woods, and Margie Montgomery went to Washington, D.C. at a conference put on by Chevron about how to further implement science education in elementary schools. And Press taught me so much. And I'll tell you, that is the most elegant and he is man, and he is a true gentleman all the time. He's just a great guy.
Thank you, Nancy. That is so good to hear. And it's good to hear your voice. It's been a while since you've seen each other.
Well, I think that Nancy is a treasure, too. So
she is. And she really is.
If you read this book, you're going to go through all kinds of names and memories of Baton Rouge. And I'm glad you mentioned that at one time Dr. Dorsey Bryant was the NAACP president.
Yes.
Did he precede George Eames?
I think he did. He did.
And Dr. Bryant is an obstetrician. I think he's still alive, lives on Lakeshore Drive, at last report, in Baton Rouge near LSU. But he performed abortions at a time when that was taboo. But
it was known that he was the man to go to.
But I was always... I found it curious that he operated on Acadian Thruway, and mostly black people went there. And there were very few protests at his place that I knew of, but there were tons of them where the white folks went to have abortions. The Delta Women's Clinic, which is another interesting aspect of our community we rarely talk about. How much is race a factor then and now in our community? Are we symbolic of America?
I think we are. Race is a big question. We think that we've improved to the point that it shouldn't be, but it still is. Again, I go back to my statement that the more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, we think that we have overcome because now we can go to restaurants and hotels and things of that nature. But when you dig deeper, the roots are still there.
Mm-hmm. You note that in 1983, President Reagan signed into law the federal holiday honoring Martin Luther King Jr., his birthday, January 15th. I'm honored to share that birthday with him and Ernest Gaines and Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees. you got some famous people around here, too.
But the Louisiana legislature didn't approve the holiday until 2004.
That's correct.
And you write about that. Yeah. Why did it take 21 years? Governor Blanco signed it into law. Actually, she didn't sign it until January of 2005.
Because we live in a southern state. That's a quick answer. I mean, people don't want to move. They don't want to change.
877-217-5757 if you would like to get in under the wire with Dr. Press Robinson. And on deck is Mark Ballard. Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, doctor, I got a question. I don't know if you can really answer it, but I've read a statistic that a lot of black men are Donald Trump's appealing to a lot of black men, male voters. And I'm just curious why you think that is.
You know, I really don't know, because quite frankly, in my mind, I can't see that happening considering the kinds of things that Donald Trump's talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, most of us believe in this country. We believe in the Constitution, and here we have a guy who's running for president who wants to get rid of our Constitution.
And when he says, Patrick is right, that Trump has some mojo that other Republican politicians didn't with African Americans, but the number I saw was that he will peak, and it's unlikely it will happen, but he could get 20% of the black male vote, and if he did that, he probably quite possibly, that could be the difference in Milwaukee and Philadelphia and Detroit, and those are the three states that Kamala Harris almost has to have to win. She needs to win in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
And that could happen, but I just can't see why they feel that way. I know there's some people who think that the stimulus checks that they got, mm-hmm. with Trump's name on it, was coming from Trump. It was not. You know?
Well, David Duke in 1991, when you were active, and you remember that race.
I remember that race.
And it was an exit poll, and people generally don't lie to exit pollsters, and it was done by the New York Times. 4% of the black vote went to David mm-hmm. Duke, which would mean probably around 6% of the black male vote, which would mean close to 30,000 black people in Louisiana voted for David Duke. And I have a theory that black folks have been disenfranchised, and some are just looking to shake up the system anyway because the system, in their view, is broken.
And some of that's certainly true, Jim. I don't dispute that at all. But, you know, and we all not the same. You know, we're like other folk. There are some of us who think one way and some think another. We all have our own ideas.
Well, and then for every David Duke who's out there in the open overtly saying these things that are offensive to many and maybe most Louisianians, I think so, there are those who think exactly the same thing and don't say them. We've heard that term, David Duke without the baggage,
yeah,
more than once,
absolutely, haven't we? Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, an amazing life, and let's bring you back soon and very soon. I see my friend Rachel Emanuel gave you a nice plaudit, sharing his thoughts on being elected the first African-American member of the East Baton Rouge Parish School Board. Among his other achievements, Dr. Robinson reveals his motivations and actions and elicits an appreciation for his journey. The book is Pressing Forward. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Back with Mark Ballard after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard of The Advocate is at the ready. If you'd like to chime in, we always welcome input from the most enlightened audience in radio. And your number is 877-217-5757. Emails go to talk@talklouisiana.org. 19 days before November 5th. So we're 2.5 weeks out. And this is crunch time. And for those who support Kamala Harris, and right now it's a neck-and-neck race, and the odds in Las Vegas are still stubbornly showing Donald Trump as the favorite, albeit slight, to win this election. It's based primarily on the fact that Trump has underpolled in the last two elections, and it really is hard to adjust for that. It is extremely hard to adjust for that. So if Harris is ahead by 2 or 3 points, which she is in national polls, that would be the same as Hillary Clinton, who lost in 2016. So that's what's encouraging for supporters of the former president, Donald John Trump. But for Harris supporters, it should be noted that at this time in 2008, the race between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama was also neck and neck. And in the end, Obama pulled away. And he won, by today's standards, a landslide election. He didn't win the overall vote by as many votes as Joe Biden did over Donald Trump. He won by 5 million rather than 7 million, but he killed it in the Electoral College, which is where the action is. And yesterday on this show, we had the esteemed pollster Jim Kitchens, who does a lot of work in Louisiana and guided John Bel Edwards to victory in 2015. And he says the Democrats should not give up on Florida. Got a chance to win there. North Carolina, Trump is being hurt by the unfortunate choice for the Republicans as their gubernatorial standard bearer. And in Georgia, it's about where it was 4 years ago. And 4 years ago, as we know, Joe Biden won, albeit quite narrowly, but he did win in Georgia. So that's the way the Harris people would look at it if they're trying to look at it from a rosy point of view through rose-colored glasses. But Mark Ballard, it is remarkable that 2.5 weeks away, we don't know which way it'll go. And either candidate could end up having more than 300 electoral votes if things break their way in the home stretch. Your thoughts about where we are at this point?
Well, I have to agree with the pollsters that first, it's just neck and neck, and I think we're seeing in the early voting, which in Louisiana begins tomorrow, by the way, but we are seeing in the early voting that this is there's a lot of excitement. Is that the right word? Energized voting going on right now, and I think that the turnout is going to be the deciding factor here, because in all of particularly the swing states, they're within the margin of error. North Carolina could go with the vice president, but right now it seems like it's the former president is ahead by a few points. The same thing in Georgia is that it could go to the vice president, but it seems that the former president is ahead right now, and we're just going and. We're just going to have to see how this all turns, who actually turns out the vote. And we're seeing this time around that the Republicans, remember in 2020, that they did not put much emphasis on early voting. This time around, they are putting interest on early voting, which is kind of interesting in that they're basically saying, we want you to do what we thought in 2020 was a system that was corrupt. So so we're just going to have to see how this all, who gets out there, folks, to vote.
Well, in the Kitchen's latest poll, and he's doing daily polls, and he's making it available to the public at large for the presidential election. There's some numbers from Louisiana that we did not cover with him yesterday that are fascinating, because Mark has written about this, that if you look at the last four elections in Louisiana for president, that they have been almost mirror images with different candidates. The Republican's going to get about 58% and the Democrat's going to get about 40%. That's the way it works. But and all 64 parishes, by the way, have voted identically the last four times out. Every parish has voted exactly the same way as far as who they favor. But favorable to unfavorable, Trump, who probably will get around 58% if things go according to form, in Louisiana right now, 52% of the electorate views him as favorable or very favorable, and surprisingly, 47% views him as unfavorable or very unfavorable. And with Kamala Harris, who you think would probably be quite unpopular in Louisiana, the numbers are not as bad as you might think. It is a case in which 46% of the electorate in Louisiana finds her favorable or very favorable. And then as far as unfavorable, it's 52%. But Mark, that I would say, that's a win for her. It's not enough for her to carry the state, but she may end up doing better than Barack Obama did or Joe Biden. She may end up doing much better in this state than her predecessors on the Democratic side.
Yeah, very possible. Very possible. I mean, the race, well, right now, I mean, Donald Trump has done what he's always done, and that's grabbing attention-grabbing headlines. And basically, Harris is kind of losing the internet cycle, if you will, internet news cycle, and so I think that that's kind of keeping Trump up there. I mean, there seems to be whether you like him or dislike him, he seems to be able to dominate the headlines every day in a way that the vice president has been unable to do.
Well. A listener says, Jim, why do most of the callers on your show not like Trump? When he carries Louisiana so handsomely as he has two straight elections. And the reason is, one of the reasons is, we were in East Baton Rouge Parish, and he's lost soundly. I mean, he's gotten whipped in East Baton Rouge Parish the last two times. It hasn't even been close. And our show, last time I checked, originated from East Baton Rouge Parish, and then we get a few folks from other places who generally are They're Louisiana transplants looking for information from their home state. So that's where we are. But I don't think Harris is going to win Louisiana. But you know what? She might actually get the high water mark for a minority candidate in any statewide election, including president or other statewide offices, is Kip Holden, who got a little over 45% against Billy Nungesser. She might get there, and that would be significant, Mark.
It would be significant. I think what we need to remember is that Louisiana, like Texas, is the same way, is that the cities are very blue. So Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Shreveport, Monroe are all very blue cities. And the same in Texas is Houston, San Antonio, Dallas even, El Paso. Those are all very blue cities, but it's very red outside of those cities, and there are more people that live outside the cities than live inside the cities, and that is why we see, that's probably why we see so many anti-Trump callers on your show, and why we see them do so. Democrats do well in the cities, but not in the state overall.
877-217-5757. We go to James in Longview, Texas. James, you're on with Mark Ballard. Hello, my friend.
Well, hi, Jim, and hi, Mark. Anyhow, if I recall, tonight is the annual Al Smith dinner that benefits Catholic Charities. I happen to be Catholic. I know neither candidate is. I think Trump's going to show up, but do you think there's such a thing as a Catholic vote anymore?
Yes. Yes, but the Catholic vote is not monolithic. It swings back and forth, and it usually is a bellwether for how the election turns out. But Catholics, believe it or not, despite church dogma, and I'm a Catholic, are heavily divided on birth control, heavily divided on social issues of almost every kind, including transgender rights. You go down the list. Catholics, some believe that we should have charity toward all, and others believe that we should have law and order and that we should crack down on those who are out of the mainstream, who they believe are threats not only to the safety of the country, but to the morality of the country. And that's where we are as a nation. So, yeah, there's a Catholic vote. And that Al Smith dinner, it will be interesting. And I would advise Kamala Harris to show up. And we will go to the phone lines, but we're getting close to a break. And a listener asked a good question. Here's Harris going on Fox News and taking it to Bret Baier. That was somewhat of a surprise, wasn't it, Mark?
It was. I thought she did a pretty good job, though. I read a lot of the Republican reviews who thought she did a horrible job. But I think what she aimed at doing is trying to speak primarily, I guess, to the Nikki Haley voters that are uncomfortable with Trump and with his stances and his erratic mm-hmm. behavior, yeah. and basically telling those voters who are not going to hear it, at least on Fox for sure, a different take on her and where she stands. And so I think that was a good move on her behalf. I don't know whether it's going to be a successful move, but it was certainly a good one.
Well, and a listener also notes, and we do have the most enlightened audience in radio, that not only is Trump getting a bigger share of black Democrats, but Harris is getting a bigger share of white Republicans than most Democrats get. And I think some of this crossover appeal is actually good. It's good. But in Louisiana, as we know, if you're white, there's about an 85% chance you're going to vote for Trump. And if you're black, there's about a 95% chance you're going to vote for Harris. The same way the last few elections. That's the way we are in Louisiana. We'll talk about it more with Mark, and we'll go to the phone lines with Michael downtown when we return in just a few. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, another quarter hour of stimulating conversation with Mark Ballard at the ready in the Beltway. Your number, 877-217-5757. And let's go to Michael downtown. Michael, you're on. Good morning.
Morning, Jim and Mark. I just wanted to say, I mean, your show is one of the few places in our state where you can have a civil debate. That's why there's so many anti-Trump people call, because you can't have this discussion, you know, with folks, because, you know, you respect truth and facts, and you hold the people on your show to the truth and the facts. And the only, you know, I've said this before calling in, and the only criticism I have of you two guys, just a little one, is every now and then you get into the false equivalency stuff by comparing what the Democrat candidate says and Trump, and, you know, saying they all don't tell the truth, when the lying that Trump does is just so absurd. And that's the only thing. It doesn't make you guys any better journalists to do that false equivalency. It just kind of makes you dupe. You know, you're a dupe if you do that.
All
thank
right.
you.
Well,
appreciate
thank you.
You.
Thank you, Michael. I'll well, take that. That's
he,
okay.
He may have a point there, but you and I have, what, 30 or 40 years of experience of having to be fair and weigh both sides, even though, as he points out, that sometimes we get duped in doing so, but it's kind of a hard habit to get out of.
Well, and there is actually a national discussion about what Michael's talking about, is that if you, and especially if you're trying to be, quote, fair, you tend to have to have somebody from the other side. But if there are 10 people on one side, for example, saying that climate change is real, and there's one person on the other side, I would say Michael's got a point that that's a false equivalency, and we'll work to do the best we can. Byron in South Baton Rouge. Byron, good morning. You're on with Mark. Hi, Byron.
Hi. Just a quick couple of points. In 2020, Biden beat Trump as a challenger, even by 7 million votes, as you've pointed out, and about 75 electoral college votes, even though he only won 500 of the 3,000 counties in the country. Trump won the other 2,500. And that's why a lot of people think, well, he must have cheated, but because the 500 counties were the populated counties, like around New York and Los Angeles and Chicago. And, you know, that's, you know, where most of the economy is, by the way. But he won the only 500 or 3,000 counties, but he won big time because he won the populated counties. The other point is you need to let your listeners know, if you support a Democrat like Kamala Harris in a red state, Kamala Harris in a red state like Louisiana, or Trump in a blue state like California, you're literally wasting your vote because of the Electoral College. It doesn't matter.
I don't agree with that. But you make some good points. But look, rarely is an election decided by one vote. So if you're going to say you're wasting your vote, rarely do we actually. We rarely decide elections with one vote. So if you're for Harris, vote for Harris wherever you are, and if you're for Trump, vote for Trump. And I think most people do in this country. But Mark, there is this bandwagon effect, and that's why sometimes media, I think, they're criticized for the horse race aspect to this, because if it looks like somebody's going to win, most people would prefer to be associated with a winner rather than a loser.
Well, perhaps. I think that what we're getting at this time, because of the horse race, because it's so close, and that is kind of feeding into making it more of a horse race, but that we generally do that anyway. As far as the Electoral College goes, there's this argument about getting rid of the Electoral College, but I believe that the founders put that in, and we were able to get a constitution because of that, so that the smaller states could have a voice. Otherwise, California, New York, and Texas, and Illinois will decide who gets to be president every year. The Electoral College allows Louisiana to have at least some say in that.
Yeah, but we don't have as much say as Rhode Island. If you're a voter in Rhode Island, your vote counts more than it does in Louisiana. And if you're a voter in Louisiana, it counts more than it does in California. And I thought we had a one-person, one-vote system in our country, and we don't when it comes to presidential elections. The only election in America where you can win the overall vote and lose the election. And for those who castigate California, by the way, Biden would have won the overall vote in 2020 even without California, and Hillary Clinton would have won it without California in 2016. But do you know the state that's provided more votes to Donald Trump than any other state? It's California. Stuart downtown. Stuart, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Stuart.
Oh, hey, Jim, good morning.
And great to hear from you. We missed you. We wondered if you were in the witness protection program, but welcome
thanks
back.
A lot, thanks a lot, Jim, and the audience. Everybody, good morning. Mark, why don't you think the Republicans were able to advance some stable candidate like maybe a Mitt Romney, who, when he ran for president, the gentleman was extraordinarily well-versed, calm, cool, collected, well-researched, the whole nine yards, instead of this wild man? Or do you think the Republicans want a wildness at this point?
I'm going to start, but they don't want Romney. He couldn't even get reelected in Utah. That's why he didn't run for reelection to the Senate. Now, I like him a lot, but but he's no longer in the mainstream of the Republican Party, Mark, is he?
No, I think the Republican Party has moved and has been moving for some time towards this more towards Trump, I guess. And I think that Trump did not create it, that he reflects this movement towards the right, towards more social issues, stances on conservative stances on social issues. And I mean, this started really back with George H.W. Bush, if not even before then, this kind of movement towards the right, and remember the Tea Parties and that sort of thing. It's just that this is the way the Republican Party is now. The Mitt Romneys and the more pragmatic centralist Republicans just have not been able to speak to Republican, well, and some Democrats, because I think that Trump has brought in some Democrats who are frustrated by our economy and by this feeling that they're no longer kind of connected to the rest of the country. And it's a pretty widespread frustration, which is why about half the country is for Trump.
Parker in Port Allen. Hi, Parker. You're on Talk Louisiana. Please turn your radio down, Parker. What is your question? What is your question?
The thing I would like to see addressed is I feel like we're getting lesser and lesser quality candidates from the two-party committees, that is the RNC and the DNC. They seem to just put out these ones, and nobody really had, for in this particular election of the president, we didn't have much choice.
All right. Is that fair, Mark? As far as the quality of candidates and the fact that it was a foregone conclusion, obviously, when Biden stepped aside, that Harris would get the nod, and Trump sucked the oxygen out of the room for a third straight cycle for the Republicans. Does Parker in Port Allen have a point?
Well, yes, but that's been a complaint for years now. I mean, that the candidates we're getting are not, are very similar. That was a complaint about Mitt Romney, was that, he was very similar to the Democrats. And I think that what Trump has epitomized, I guess, is going in a different direction than having the same type of candidates year in and year out, and very similar, the Republicans and the Democrats being very similar candidates. I guess we get the candidates we deserve because we do have an opportunity to vote for them during the primary elections.
All right, quickly, David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Mark.
Hello, good morning, gentlemen. Mark, is Donald Trump putting the health, life, and safety in jeopardy of people like Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi when he refers to them as extreme, radical, leftist lunatics, and Trump has said that he would have the National Guard investigate them and possibly the United States military?
All right. Trump is bloviating about his enemies, and I think until we hear otherwise or see otherwise, we have to take what he says seriously, Mark. And he's on the 1 yard line of the two politicians from California that David mentioned.
Well, yes, and this is, I guess, part of the attention grabbing that he does do. And he has talked about, I mean, this week he talked about the freeing up the military or the National Guard and deploying them, and he targeted Adam Schiff specifically, as well as other liberal politicians, and saying that they're enemies from within. And that kind of goes against the grain of politicians, of presidential politicians in particular, where leaders do not use or weaponize their power.
Thank you, Mark Ballard. Next week, it'll be 12 days before the election when we talk with Mark, but we'll be back tomorrow. Stay safe and stay tuned.